Gentlemen, right now we want to finish up talking a little bit more about your journey as a man, your identity, and your summons, your natural summons to make a difference in society, to lay it all down. It is deep in you to be confident, self-assured, to have vigor for life, to be vital. Each of you wants to be a man who inspires men, who's strong in service, who can deal with his sins, who loves his God in peace. A man who is a leader, who guides all in his care, who's a fisher of men. A man who will give everything he has for a principle, a cause, for a life. You want to be a man who is disposed, raised, and summoned to lay everything down, even his life, for what he believes. Gentlemen, there is only one compliment, at least the ultimate compliment, you want to hear from your mentors or your father. My son, you have what it takes to lay down your life, and I am proud of you. Fathers, grandfathers, this is what you need to be telling your sons and grandsons. This is what they want to hear. That ultimate statement of validation. But you see, this is naturally in you, gentlemen. It's embedded in your heart. Why? To prepare you for that supernatural summons, the greater love that no man hath, to lay down his life for his friends. Gentlemen, it's already in you by nature. It's already suffused into your spirit. You have it deep in your soul. But you see, gentlemen, to get there, we need training. We need men to teach us what it is to lay it all down. We need training for this confidence, this self-reassurance. We need to be led by other men. And unless you have somebody in your life to lead you to these higher things, to summon you, to offer everything of yourself for your God, your family, your country, your church, your society, your loved ones, without it, you cannot be happy. You cannot be settled, and you cannot be secure. I'm sorry. We all need guidance to reach the security of heart and that strength of spirit we're all looking for. We've got to have those mentors to train you. Gentlemen, there's a reason why Braveheart, Gladiator, and the Kingdom of Heaven are men's favorite movies. You know the movies your wives and girlfriends can't stand? There's a reason your favorite movies. Because you want movies with battle. You want to be led to by a great leader for a great cause. All men want to be called forth by a William Wallace, a Maximus, a George Washington, a George Patton. You want to stand in those ranks, and you want to follow somebody you admire, a hero. Again, you want to be known as a man who is willing to lay everything down, even his life, for a principle he believes in. Teddy Roosevelt once said, and I think this sums it up, no man is worth his salt who is not ready at all times to risk his body, to risk his well-being, to risk his life in a great cause. Amen? That bespeaks of a man, and that's where all of you want to go. It's deep in you, and it cannot be taken away. You know, you see this in the young boy. He loves battle, he loves weaponry. He could turn anything into a fort, even the kitchen table. Every stick is a sword or a spear, isn't it? And he loves his guns. You take away his guns, and he'll chew his crackers in the shape of a gun. Everything is potentially a weapon for him. Toilet paper rolls, hangers, his sister's jump rope that he ties her up with. You can't take away the arms of a young boy. He has his Second Amendment rights. You know, we had a movement in the 70s and 80s where mothers were taking away the guns for the boys. They still are. It's a big mistake. You gentlemen have to watch your wives in this respect. But gentlemen, battle is your paradigm. Your paradigm for life, for work, for raising a family, for loving a woman. Because it is struggle, it is hardship, it is oftentimes heroism. Every man wants the battle to live and die for. How many of you guys dream about dying in bed? Isn't that right? You want to live and die in battle. And so close is this paradigm to divinity, it's why it's in your soul. So close to this paradigm to divinity, God refers himself in this way. The Lord is a warrior. Lord is his name. But you see, this paradigm has to be infused in your soul so that it summons you to fight, to stand up, to move ahead, to lay it all down for your God, your family, your church, your community. And how does a man lay it all down? Specifically, how does he do that? By fulfilling his natural aptitude, desire, and role to lead, to protect, and provide. That's what you do, gentlemen. That's what's deep in your soul. You want to do this for all those in your care and periphery. And today we need men who are leaders, gentlemen, real leaders. Amen?
Amen.
To teach you again, as I say, to lay it all down. But to in turn to be leaders and to protectors, providers, giving everything that you have. This is what women are looking for. And do not be fooled to think that leadership is selfish or arrogance. No, true leadership, and you gentlemen know this, is sacrificial. You have to die to yourself to be a leader, putting others before you. It's a crucifixion, isn't it? It's very difficult. You have to surmount your fears. But I assure you, your wives, your children, your nieces, your nephews, the young men and women in your church all want you to lead. They want you to take them somewhere. It's clear from your adolescence. As young boys, you were waiting for men to come into your life to lead you, to guide you. And so at the age of 12, when that psychosexual drive is burgeoning in the young man, there are other drives that come within him that strike him, where he wants battles, he wants conquests, he wants deeper challenges. He wants to learn many skills, to hunt, to camp, to fish. He wants to build engines. He wants to build houses. He wants to forge his way with his hands. If you don't teach a boy to be constructive, he will be destructive. And what he desires more than a girlfriend is other men to come into his periphery to teach him all these things so he can gain confidence, so he can gain command of this world, so he can engage, so he can pursue adventure. Every boy loves adventure. And if you didn't get it out of your soul, it is frustrated within you, and your wives see this, and they don't just go away. I think this is the source of rebellion in a lot of young men. Angry because the men in their periphery did not lead them. And so what must you lead other men to, these boys? What it is to be a man? What it is to father? What it is to love a woman, to raise a family, to teach a boy how to face himself, to help in his weakness, to summon him in his strengths, to face his own heart. A man needs to be led into his own heart, and he needs a mentor to take him there. Only a man can really take a man into his own heart the way he is meant to be led, to face your deepest longings, your desires, your troubles, what yearns deep within your soul. Gentlemen, this is what you need to lead other younger men and boys to. They are waiting for you. And so as well as we need to summon men individually, we need to lead our boys also in teams. It's a desire of every man to be part of a platoon, a pack, a band of brothers. This is why some of you are floundering. You're not in your band. You see this in boys, as I say, even when they're young. They don't want to be around girls. They want to be with their buddies doing things. Every man is like a dog. Your wives already know this. Every man is like a dog because he wants to be in his pack and he wants to be on the move. Amen? You can't tame a tiger. You have to let it loose. Boys need to study, and I understand there's certain cultural things they need to learn and other things, but they've got to be outside. You got to keep your boys moving, on the go. But what's happening in the schools, we're keeping our boys in schools. I know a boy, husky kid, he was a junior in high school, not allowed to go outside all day, being forced to stay in his desk. Gentlemen, remember how hard it was to keep you behind your desk in studies? Gentlemen, you got to protect your young boys to make sure they are free. Amen? Keep them active. Again, protect them from the women who are trying to overtame them. They're trying their best. Sincerely so, no question. But there are some things they just don't understand about that masculine identity and journey for which you have to protect these young boys. But again, as I say, a man needs to be in this band of brothers. And you have to take them on these adventures of camping, hunting, and fishing. Every boy wants to learn how to fight, to box, to wrestle. It's in you, gentlemen. You remember that when you were young. I learned how to box when I was 15. And I learned how to take a hit. And that's what boys need how to learn how to do in order to be tough and to face life, how to take a hit. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Amen. You know, interestingly enough, this is how the Christian Brothers in Jersey, New York, got a lot of boys to enter the seminary. They would box with them. That's how they did it. They boxed with them in the basements of churches in New York and Jersey. There used to be times in our Christian European tradition in the Middle Ages, particularly in Europe, again, where men used to fence with each other. We have had guilds where men, they would compete that way. You have to compete, gentlemen. Well, we used to have the fencing guilds, and priests used to be the instructors. The oldest existing image in the world of a fencing instructor is of a priest. Imagine that. Priest teaching young boys how to use a sword. Do you think we would have any problems with vocations? Do you think? By the way, somebody just gave me this today. Just given to me as a gift. I didn't expect this. It's a hand and a half sword. There's nothing like putting this in your hands. Taking lessons with a broadsword. Oh, it's ecstasy. It started last year. To use these things, gentlemen, is what we need to teach our boys. No, this isn't about violence. It's about teaching him how to lay it all down. We teach him how to defend himself and his family, his country, his community, with dignity and honor. Amen. By the way, Kevin, I'd like that packaged and mailed to me. I don't think that would go well on the plane. Gentlemen, you see where you have to go. In our church, it used to be a lot of organizations, fraternities. The KFCs used to be more active, working with boys, being more engaged. We need to serve our young boys. They're being put in too many co-educational situations, gentlemen, and that is not right. Every boy has a right to play with other boys on a playing field. Amen? And that is not happening as much anymore. There are some high schools where boys that cannot play anymore with boys alone. They have to have girls in the mix. Yet they can have girls alone teams. I've seen high schools like this. You have to protect your boys, gentlemen. Some of you are wondering, well, you know, I don't have these skills you're talking about. I can't teach a boy to use a sword or even sports or these other things. Gentlemen, you have it in you by nature to be a mentor, to be a leader. Maybe there's some skills you need to learn with your sons. To learn how to box together or wrestle, to learn how to camp, to hunt, to fish. You take him on those expeditions with others where you can also learn with him. But gentlemen, you see, this is what you were made for. This is in your soul. All you need to do is trust in your own savvy and put your dependence on Jesus Christ, and you can make that happen. That's what you have to do for the men, younger men and boys all around you. But you see, gentlemen, as I say, and I will repeat again, to mentor other young men and boys is your natural vocation. I understand that you're to protect the women, embrace them in your care. But you see, what will give you a profound sense of fulfillment is when you are leading other young men and boys. And this is why you are not happy, because you are not fulfilling your natural vocation to lead, to guide, to raise warriors, to forge captains. This is what's in you, gentlemen. You have to be engaged in working with them. You know what? I try to get men's groups working together once a week if possible. I realize that is hard. You should be doing so, getting together with your band of brothers at least twice a month. Minimum once a month. Here's where you find men who understand your needs and will help you also. Men can find their mentors, their brothers, those they can reach out to. And when this is the way, gentlemen, you get your security and identity back, and that you'll feel like a man again, and so will your sons. But you see, gentlemen, we have to teach other young men and boys what it is to be a great man, a great husband, a great leader, a great follower, a great Christian. It takes a man to lead another man, to get him to those battles he needs to face. What are those battles? Gentlemen, they're all around us. They're all around us. And we are seldom engaged. Most of the men who engage in these battles do so on the academic level, not good enough. We need to be physically out there in those hills, taking those fields. We need to be in front of those abortion clinics, standing up physically before these places. We need to be addressing the pornography problem. Look at these convenience stores all around you now, filled with pornography. There are homosexual agendas and perverse other atheistic agendas being forced and shoved down the throats of your kids and grandkids in the public schools, and this has got to stop. Amen? Some are out there fighting the battles. A good friend of mine who made national news, I just saw him about a week ago, Ed Snell. How many of you heard about him? He almost died 2 months ago, being in front of a clinic. He was counseling women at an abortion clinic from a platform he built atop of his car to counsel them over the fence, which was built before a Planned Parenthood clinic. A disgruntled man shoved him off. He broke a number of ribs, dislocated his shoulder, hit his head quite hard on the ground, knocking him out. He was bleeding in the brain. The doctors did not think he would make it. There's other brave men doing other great things. I mentor some boys, young men, back in Philadelphia, fighting pornography, in front of those porn shops, strip clubs. They're out there, facing these men, trying to talk them out of this. Very difficult to do. Damian Warrow, a young man I mentor who does this, said, you know, I realized this last time we were out in before this porn shop, I saw this man come out so angry and vitriolic. I see that he could have easily pulled out a gun and would shoot us. That's right, Damien, so keep going. That's what you want to hear. Or is it, no, Damien, keep it safe. Let's try a lesser version of this. Let's not make any waves. Don't make too much trouble. You don't want to stir things up too much. Gentlemen, is that how we summon our young men? We summon them to lay down their lives. And believe you me, gentlemen, to take this world, our country, back for Jesus Christ, it will take many casualties and a lot of blood. Amen. It's going to cost something, gentlemen. It is going to cost. It is not easy. And this is in your hands. I assure you, gentlemen, abortion will not end in this country until men start standing up. Amen. Gentlemen, what I see today is a lot of women engaged heavily in the battle, and there are many casualties at home. Not that women don't participate and play their part, provide help where they can, assistance. Women have many abilities and gifts. But you see, in terms of the actual defense and the protection of life, it is a man's responsibility to fight for this. It's in the order of nature to protect the women and the children, never the other way around. Amen? It is your task, gentlemen. But you know what? The women are out there doing the fighting, most of it. And old men as well. Gee, when the younger men come, it's like the cavalry shows up at the abortion clinics. Gentlemen, be at your post. Stand guard. Take up your sword and shield and move ahead. Otherwise, this scourge is never going to be removed from our country. This is what you are summoned to. This is the evil in society to which you are called, amongst others, to resolve. And you have to be determined that you can be victorious, and you can. Gentlemen, when all is said and done and somebody looks that epitaph on your grave, do you just want it to read, he was a good Christian and a good father, or he played it safe, or just he had many friends, or he was a good man? No, gentlemen, you want to see on your epitaph, when you were looking down from those pearly gates, he gave everything he had. He laid it all down. He held nothing back. This is what you want to be. This is what you want your legacy to be, gentlemen. It's deep in your hearts. It's profoundly in your souls. There's a poet by the name of John Sheed, virtually an unknown poet. I like this quote I found recently. A ship in the harbor is safe, but that is not what ships were made for. So, gentlemen, we got to start launching. Amen? You want to be the man, as I said before, the man showing up with sword in hand, uncompromising, ready for battle. But you remember Braveheart. And you remember that Robert the Bruce, many of you find yourselves like Robert the Bruce. You remember him? The guy that keeps folding. He doesn't have the courage. He caves in under pressure. He's a leader among the nobles. He sides with the wrong guys and he regrets it. And what has him pinned down, it's that voice within him, the voice of the enemy, the voice of the accuser. You haven't got it. What can you do? You're no fighter. You're no man. You don't have what it takes to lay it all down. But you see, standing outside the story, you gentlemen can see it, and you're thinking, you're looking at this movie, what is wrong with you? Engage. Move forward. But it's hard to see sometimes when you're in the inside, gentlemen, and you're in the inside. Your wives are looking in. And they're seeing this. They're looking for the man who will stand up. Be careful of the accuser who sows these negative thoughts and seeds in your mind and waters them. No, gentlemen, we must be careful here. We must pray against these negative agreements that we make. But I realize, gentlemen, you are not fighting. It isn't because you don't have the strength and you don't have the spirit. Because the leaders in society are not taking you into battle. So guess what has to happen? Even though many of you men haven't been led, you have to start leading. You have to start leading other men out to battle. Begin to summon them and ask for God for the strength and insight, and you can do that. Your gifts are there, gentlemen. They're all there. Just use your savvy, as I said. Put your strength in your God. And gentlemen, you have to break this chain. For all too many years, in the 20th century especially, men were not mentoring other men. It's true, we're engaged in war, and we felt the effects of that. The fathers, the uncles, and others became somewhat disengaged oftentimes. Most men, young and old, generally speaking, feel unmentored, and that's the truth, and that's very unfortunate. But gentlemen, when you lead these young men, all of you can do that. You all have skills. You help them, as I say, face their weaknesses. But what I want you to do is to summon men, especially in their strengths, and you can all do this. Gentlemen, I think this is where we have failed in the church. We have been trained to look at men in terms of their weaknesses, their sins, their failings, where you've fallen. And we've become so clever at pointing that out to you, so good at analyzing you and your sins. Why is that? Because we did not teach you how to summon you in your strengths, to teach you what is strong within you, those virtues that are already placed in you, where you're already a hero, where you're already strong and vital and vibrant. I was explaining this a couple weeks ago when I was in Rome for a conference to a young, newly ordained priest who too wished he was summoned by even his bishop to something higher, to lay down his life, to not be so careful, to be a little bit dangerous, not reckless. And he started crying. He's dying for a bishop too to lead him. But gentlemen, I know you're looking at your weaknesses oftentimes. You're looking at yourself a bit much, and you're not trusting in God's strength. You remember the story of David when he was chosen as king. Samuel the prophet was commissioned. Things weren't working out with Saul. He had failed our Lord. So he called forth the sons of Jesse, vibrant, tall, strong young men, especially his oldest. He went through all of his sons, and our Lord told Samuel, "No, not him. No, he's not the one. Who's the next? No, not him either." "Well, do you have any other sons?" "Well, there is my son David. He's out in the fields, picking off Coke bottles with a slingshot." "Bring him in." A young man, certainly beautiful to behold, did not look as strong and as vibrant as the other sons. And our Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as a man see does God see, because man sees the appearance. The Lord looks into the heart." Gentlemen, it is in your heart. You have it in you. There is greatness. And you know you can feel that. You know it's there. It's just waiting to be summoned. I know. It's waiting to be forged. I understand that. So, gentlemen, this is what we have to do with each other. We have to mutually support each other, not cut each other down. I understand we need to compete. It's part of our nature. We do that. But we help each other. We support each other in our strengths. Let's show other men, gentlemen, where they are strong. And once the hearts of men are stirred to a great cause, once they are given purpose, once you build and fortify other men, strengthen them, you will find and fortify men who are unstoppable. And they will find identity, security, and peace that they will have never known before. That is how we bring manhood back into the church. That is how we bring back men of Christ. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, I've got a number of resources on the masculine journey and masculine identity. I have resources, CDs there and in the back here. Some of you have already met. I'll be here before and after Mass. I have a ministry to help men in their masculine identity and to walk their masculine journey, to help men mentor other men. That's what I do full time. There is nothing like it. So the CDs are there. There's 5 or 6 of each you can take to help you to understand this masculine journey and your masculine identity. I ask that you only put $3 a piece in the bucket. And any offering you want to make would go to my men's ministry. I can't operate my ministry with my good looks alone. But gentlemen, we have to bring manhood back into the church. You've heard that many times today. We've had so many impressive speakers. There was a lot to learn and glean here. Tomorrow I'll be at Holy Hill, tomorrow, speaking more about the battle, bringing that to the next level. Again, Holy Hill tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m. Hope to see you there. But you see, gentlemen, I want to explain very clearly. My life changed when I saw that natural quest to mentor other men like Christ did. You know, this is what he did. He spent most of his apostolic ministry mentoring 12 men. That's what he did. In a small part of his time, a small fraction of the time, he spent publicly teaching in the synagogues, berating the Pharisees, a few miracles here and there. But gentlemen, he spent 90% of his time plus mentoring men. Our Lord took 12. David took many. The prophets, the kings, the saints, they all mentored other men under them. That's how they built up the church. Gentlemen, you lead men out to battle. Lead the men into their hearts. Lead them to where they need to go. Help them in their weaknesses to surmount them. Validate them in their strengths. Move them ahead. Gentlemen, start doing this. Mentoring your sons, your nephews, your neighbors, all the younger men and boys in your parish, your community, and I promise you, you will find deep fulfillment in this life, a deeper sense of peace, identity, and union with Jesus Christ that you will have never known. And you will find those one of those keys, I promise, to finding true happiness in this world and life everlasting. And you will realize what is said in the book of Proverbs. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. God bless you, gentlemen, on your way. Take care.